to stay in office, notwithstanding his style. His people have not rebelled against it. The Prime Minister is today in a situation where Parliament has been dissolved, and he and other ministers are using this period to function as though it's business as usual. None of them have been able to tell the Prime Minister, we don't agree with this approach, all right? So all along, it has worked for him. He's been able to keep his government together. And in retrospect, he can easily say, it has worked for me.
Has the country benefited?
He did a speech last weekend and said that the country has benefited from their steady hand at the wheel and that sort of thing. So you've got to tell me if you don't agree.
I don't agree. The Prime Minister came and flung Barbadians wearing shoes. And after 10 years in office, Barbadians gone back barefoot. See? And the Prime Minister has to look at this country and ask himself a question. Has this country really benefited from my leadership? And there is a resounding no.
But he feels that way, though.
But he can feel anything. Because there's a resounding no. But I'm saying to you that the candidate in St. John is also at fault. The candidate in St. John had no right to treat the people of St. John like that.
But it's the party machinery that really should be at, and the party apparatus. And what's fascinating about it is that George Pilgrim is the general secretary of the party. So
that's it.
If you're going to look at the process, then he is the one who would be in the forefront of having to put the process in place. But look, politics is today throwing up some unusual occurrences and some unusual results. And we've seen that in a place like the United States recently with Donald Trump and his style.
Mm-hmm.
He too will say it has worked for me. We have seen the resurgence of the far right in other places.
Yeah.
The United Kingdom with Nigel Farage and people like that who have been opposed to Britain staying in the European Union. We've had that in Hungary. You know, there is a resurgence of an approach that we thought was dead and gone. So who are we now to sit down here and say that the Prime Minister's approach might not work? Beijing might have changed considerably in the way that what they expect from their political leadership.
The Prime Minister had enough time. But once again, like the South Coast Source project he liked, the Prime Minister had enough time in knowing that Mrs. Thompson did not want to run again. And it looks like poor planning. Then after the dissolution of Parliament, minutes past midnight, you are now fighting and scrambling to put a new candidate in St. John. That's terrible.
What's terrible about it?
It is terrible because it doesn't look good. This is why the Barbados Labour Party's campaign has been galloping at the rate that it has. Because he's actually given away the campaign. Because St. John, which is the prize cow of the Democratic Labour Party.
But you know that there again, he may be making history too?
Well, history can be made one way or the other.
Of course. Right. If he loses, if he goes into this campaign and loses St. John, he would have made history.
Yeah, that's right. So history will be made one way or the other. My comments on the Natalie issue as a candidate, as a future candidate for Bridgetown, I really think it's just a waste of time because the candidate for Bridgetown has two types of tenants in Bridgetown. The candidate has the private sector, the Chamber of Commerce, and then there are residents scattered around the Bridgetown area. And the person that needs to win that seat is a person that can correlate between the two different types of persons that you have in Bridgetown, the business sector and the residents themselves. You can't just think about being a candidate for Bridgetown and just thinking about the poor people living in Nelson Street. Bridgetown is much more than that. But that's my take on it.
But you can cut votes, though. You can cut somebody's votes.
They can make it more challenging
for somebody else to win.
Yeah, they got egg cutters, cheese cutters, ham cutters, and they got vote cutters, too. But vote cutters, you know, she doesn't have enough to win. Bridgetown is a strange constituency. It's made up of commercial and residential tenants. And no, she doesn't have it.
Who says that she wants to win?
So, it doesn't make sense going in the contest if you don't plan to win.
Well,
you know, it's $250 in today's...
They had a man called Webster up in St. John.
Yeah.
Who ran in several of the elections in that particular constituency over the years.
Yeah.
He lost in every one. Mm-hmm. But for some reason... Webster's name was always there.
Yeah.
It brings us to what motivates a person to run.
Oh, because Webster probably has some extra money that he has nothing to do with. Because I can't see myself throwing away $250 in these times. And I compliment her on her courage because I don't have the money to throw away. Time's too hard.
Courage? You ain't see courage yet? You got to see she for Facebook.
Why?
That is mild in comparison to what you see on Facebook.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Good. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Miss Ellis?
Yes, welcome.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm all right. This is the first time I'm calling the program. We will be in 9 months.
In 9 months?
I plan to stay there.
Sounds like a pregnancy.
No. The lady who spoke to you, the previous lady, she's correct.
What is that?
Miss Ellis, scores of people have not yet received their national insurance contribution that is payable today. And I can tell you something. I was told by a lady from national insurance that the situation there, they got a lot of money, but it is political. Because, Mr. Ellis, those pensions does not fluctuate. And I use the word fluctuate for this. This is for the people who really went too far. The pensions don't change. If you are getting $10 every month, it is only $10 for you. I am saying, why is it that the national insurance, like today when the payments is payable, like today the 19th, why do you have to wait till Friday where the postman is working till about 10:30, 12 to be scrambling about the people's pension? That's the livelihood of the people. There are people who have paid national insurance for 35 and 40 years. And you are waiting till the last day when the postman is working to post pensions to those people.
They must be having problems of one type or the other, though. I don't think that's deliberate. You think?
Well, I can take your word.
No, take my word. I'm just saying that there's a possibility that it is not deliberate.
This
isn't like the dissolution of Parliament.
Yeah, it got to be deliberate because I would like the PRO, the National Insurance, I think he's a Mr. Lord, to come on the radio and deal with that. Listen, if you're paying a fellow $500 a month, he can't get more than $500. Why every month you gotta be wait to be squeezing about, scrambling to pay that gentleman or that lady, whoever it is. Anyhow, I can leave that there. But I want to give you one quick one because I'm on my way home now. I heard the Prime Minister last night on the radio today. They opened the DLP constituency office in St. Peter last night. Would you believe the Prime Minister? In fact, I gotta call the former Prime Minister because they're referring now to the people who was in last president. The last parliament as former leaders. He is a mile and a quarter concerned about why the Barbados Labour Party wasn't in parliament, you know, because of the walkout, wasn't in parliament to really give Arthur a farewell. If Arthur they want the people to give him a farewell, he would have told the people, listen, I am going to be in parliament on Friday. I am going to give my final speech. Despite the little misunderstanding we had, I want you to be in Parliament. That is what the Prime Minister was in St. Peter last night talking about.
But you know something?
He never spoke about the Source Project, about CLICO. Why he worrying about Arthur and the Barbados Labour Party?
You know something? You know that Mr. Arthur was not in Parliament the last day he met. And that the Democratic Labour Party, who might have wanted to give him a farewell, couldn't either?
Mr. Ellis, let me go now. Them don't want to give him a farewell. If you hear how them fellas calling off of the last general election, then they're going to be quick with this one.
Last general election, but this is a new general election. You got to sit down and wait and see how these ducks line up this time around.
But, Miss Ellis, let me tell you something you're going to be surprised on.
You may be surprised.
They're not really surprised. You might be concerned. On that same spot, therefore, in the Stewart delivered his speech last night. In 2013, during the election campaign, he made a statement on that same spot. I was there because I was going up. I get home, buddy Barbara's there for Friday, but the transportation come late. So I refused to go, so I went home and changed my red shirt. He said that Alpha, the people are saying that Alpha put in money, can't put money in people's pocket. Mr. Stewart said these words. I'm not going to use all. I'm going to use some that the ones that you could record.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Mr. Alpha? He can't put no money in people's pockets. If the people want money, they know where to get money from. And they call two sets of areas that people can get money from. But you can't call it. Call it. VOP will be in trouble.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, I understand.
So I'm saying we don't want to really hear anything from the Prime Minister. Not along these lines. Tell him.
What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear from the Prime Minister on then?
I want to hear about all the issues that is confronting this country.
Such as?
The surge. Mm-hmm. That is the most important. The general election, because I feel that that extension for the general election should be used in case of emergency, like if you got a big flood or you got a disaster in the country. He shouldn't willy-nilly use that talk about history is being made. History will be made because he won't be back there. I doubt very much if he would get an opportunity to go back up the stairs apartment because I feel Mr. Humphrey can take care of him. Anyhow, I will hear you after the general election, Mr.
Okay. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Hi, how are you?
How are you keeping today?
I'm okay.
I can't tell you, I haven't received my check yet.
Okay, but a lot of people in that position.
Well, you understand? I'm come and
when was your check due?
It's due Friday, it's the 10th today.
Okay.
Well, I haven't received it.
So that means that the cupboard running beer?
Well, you know, I know I'll be coming running there. Oh, Lord. But I get your survival check, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's whole up. But I haven't received it yet.
All right, well, enough people are calling to suggest that National Insurance may need to put out a statement, perhaps through the GIS or however else they can do so. Down to brass tacks. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. David Ellis.
Good afternoon, Vinny.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Now, I would first want to say, what's happened to Julian Hunt?
I don't know. I believe he is not as well as he used to be. I haven't heard him in a long time.
That is true because, you know, he always on and, you know that he's one person. I know millions, a lot of people does, but he really loves Barbados, you know.
Yeah.
But I just hope that he's all right, okay? Now, Mr. Ellis, I am deeply annoyed at the Ministry of Tourism having to go at the newspaper in the United Kingdom. Now, for them to print something like that, someone have to come here and go around Barbados and see what is going on. Do you agree?
Yes. Other
because
people.
There is... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, somebody would have seen it. But, you know, you got to listen to how the government responds. The government says, basically, you know.
But they respond in a negative way because...
But what do you expect?
I would try and get Barbados back together right now. I know people, and I will not, I say I'm not going to call in for no one, but I know lots of people, garbage has not collected for 4 weeks. Can you imagine you've got rubbish piling up for 4 weeks now? You do your fish, you do your chicken, you do whatever you do, and then you don't have the space in the freezer to freeze what you would freeze because you know the dustbin coming tomorrow. Then you will freeze, and then in the morning you get up and put it out. People cannot do it anymore. So you're passing some dustbin, and the flies want to fight you. And it's not right. And you know, this gentleman that called Mr. Lowe, Once he was posing with a rubbish truck that was painted up to say that he bring a new truck. There is no rubbish truck. The rubbish people that collect the rubbish, my God, they deserve a medal because they're working beyond the call of duty. They're going all out to make sure that they can get to your area to empty your rubbish bin. But the trucks are breaking down and they're working 24/7. We don't have enough rubbish truck, and the places, you know, his place is getting, because I know of a white lady that came and she said to me, I am not going. I was talking to her and she said, I'm not going down Christchurch anymore. I said, why? She said her friend went down there and she slipped and slipped in the water. She actually fall in the water. Because, you know, you have on the slippers, you know, and it's slippery. Things like that, when they go back to their country, they're going to talk about it and write it on the website, what happened to them. It should be a shame to even attempt to have a go at the...
He says that the article was viciously crafted with invective rhetoric and hyperbole, which could only have been gleaned from informal connections in an attempt to denigrate Barbados' reputation, a country which currently ranks 25 of 180 countries by Transparency International. He also says that Barbados continues to be, he says, the safety of both locals and visitors remains our top priority. And since the breach, this is the breach at the South Coast Sewage Project, the frequency of the testing of the island's potable water supply was increased, and these tests confirm that Barbados' water quality both meets and surpasses the World Health Organization standards.
Mr. Ellis, it doesn't matter, because when it rains, the thing comes up in the air. One time I saw it, and the water was... Right, like when you get a burst pipe, it's all up in the air. Do you think that is right? You should try and get that done. That should have been done ASAP. And nothing has been done. They all come and pump a set in. The rubbish need clearing. The rubbish, the bus, you cannot, look, you cannot. I have a friend living in St. Peter. And there is no way she take the minibus or whatever, the yellow bus. And this day she have to take the yellow bus because she stand at the bus stop for nearly 4 hours to get a bus to go to St. Peter. And when she called me, she said her foot was hurting her bad. I think, listen, we're talking about children misbehaving. You as a parent leave home from 6 o'clock or 7 to get to work. When you finish, you cannot get home in time to go and cook and look after your children or look at their homework because you're so damn tired.
Do you think that's going to change if and when the government changes?
Well, this government do not listen to the people. They are too pompous. They do not listen to the people because they're in and they're getting their pension. They don't care, right? They don't care.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you think it's going to change? When you tell me about how tired the woman is and stuff like that.
You know that, Mr. Ellis.
I don't know.
Tell me about how tired the woman is. You ever take a bus?
I don't know.
Take a bus to come down to him and see what will happen. You will never go. Wait again.
Huh? All right, let me get another caller. Thanks very much. There's this message here that says that for about 4 weeks now, the people at Constant in St. George have not seen a garbage truck in their district. The writer says that it looks really bad. They're seeing a lot of rats in the neighborhood. They want something done about it. And then there's another person writing here to ask the question, where are the trucks that the Sanitation Service Authority ordered ever since? This person is saying that there's so much garbage on the streets. Part of the reason, though, why there's so much garbage on the streets is because there are fewer trucks. That's true. But Barbadians are also playing a major role in keeping this place nasty. If you know that there's a problem with garbage trucks, then you have to make more of an effort to keep the garbage off the streets. What I'm also seeing is that there is so much illegal dumping taking place. I mean, people seem to be looking for any and every spot that they can in Barbados to go and dump their stuff, especially at night, it seems. And we now have to come back to this whole issue of the tipping fee and to what extent that has created more of a crisis in that area. When you add that problem to the situation that we are facing with the shortage of garbage trucks, then, you know, we're making Barbados more vulnerable in that regard. And I see some people here talking a lot about people pulling down Barbados. Somebody says that one of the callers here is pulling down Barbados and it is not going to hurt the government. But we really must ask the question, in how many ways can we pull down this country of ours? This disposal of garbage is one. How much of that is due to the behavior and the practices of the people generally? And how much of it is wrapped up in the policies of the administration? How much of it is also wrapped up in the struggle between public and private sector interests in this country? There are several ways in which we are doing harm to Barbados. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Well, I'm sorry to have to come here and sound like I'm opposing the Democratic Party. But I believe that the Democratic Party want an advisor. It is a sad thing that David Thompson really had, the late David Thompson had to pass away so early, because this was his time, I should say, but it was short-lived. And the only party out of the two that really tried, we originally start with Harrison College and the colleges leading the two parties, but the Democratic Party went down to, and now it's down to foundation, right? So I'd like this, that sort of thing. Try the other schools to see what type of leaders that you would get. But I would hate to say this, and I speak frank, and I don't come looking for friends. I would hate to believe that St. John, the Dale people lose St. John because of Mr. Stewart's style of leadership. Because I never thought, David, that I would come to agreement with you that this style, to me, is not really desirable for this time. They got a channel on the YouTube. And you believe that you can't see nothing on that channel. When you look at the channel, you're getting something from St. 11 months ago. And the Barbados Labour Party, I had to subscribe to the Barbados Labour Party to see what is that Barbados Labour Party saying. Not that I'm a supporter, but I want to hear what them got to say. I want to hear what the DLP got to say, because to me, you ain't hearing them saying nothing on your station or you know, I don't be like out and about at, I'm running behind them at their meetings. So I want to hear something too. Let do something with your what you saying is got in the channel and ain't got nothing on it, and they counteracting nothing that the Barbados Labour Party got to say about you. So this is disappointing, and I believe that he's making history in so many different ways. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, is Mr. Stewart not the first prime minister that we had that is in Ilara Court that isn't married?
The first that isn't married, I think so.
Okay, and
but
I think that...
It just shows that you don't have to be married to hold that office anymore, though. There might have been a time when people felt so. I think there's no longer that need either for somebody to hold the post of Governor General. That left a long time ago. So some things change. And the truth of the matter is that I don't think that Barbadians are in any way, leadership is in no way impacted by the fact that, you know, the person who holds the office of Prime Minister is not married.
Mm-hmm.
Or
but you
if
feel
that person is divorced, it doesn't really matter in that way.
I mind if you're married, you can't be married, and then you get divorced. But you know, in the United States, it would never happen, because United States, good point.
You can't say that. I mean, the Trump victory has shown that he got away with things that previously people who were not able to get elected on. So that there may be some dynamics that are changing there too. You can't say that for sure.
Yeah, but they look like first family. That would is called their family, the first family. So plus the United, they got a what you call it, Bible Belt areas where people is get put in power through to the their religious holding and so on, right? The United States Constitution still deal with the some of their laws is written through the Bible and so on, and they got a motto in God we trust. They put God in a lot of things. Don't mind that they might be doing things that might not, you know, they would be practicing, not practicing what they're preaching. Right, but I believe the sin righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach. I didn't really always get out of the Bible, but I think that's what it said. I mean, if David Thompson was preaching family first, and I think that David Thompson is who really got the legacy, although that he was short-lived. Because really and truly, what Mrs. Stewart is going to say is a legacy. Me putting a female governor general there, you could call that legacy, or putting the leaders of the Senate female. I don't really refer to those things on legacy. I refer to things that really had an impact on people's life as a legacy. Not just things. Anybody could do them things that was done, right? But I see the impact, and if you go to ask Mr. Short what is his philosophy, he will tell you that his philosophy is a DLP philosophy. You cannot be a leader and not really stamp your make
but
a mark.
He has been a leader.
He has been?
Yeah, he has led the Democratic Labour Party, and he has led Barbados. So in that sense, notwithstanding what you see as the shortcomings, he is led. Isn't that correct?
He has led. But how are we leading?
Well, that is for you to determine. You know, we all bring our subjective assessments. That's for you to determine.
But I want to make a statement to this, what the gentleman said about candidates, why a candidate will go and pay $250 to lose it. But what you have to got a candidate for every constituency, right? So I don't know who
you
it
don't
is.
You don't have to have a candidate for every constituency. You have to have a certain number of candidates to qualify as a party contesting elections. But, you know, sometimes parties cannot field candidates for all.
Mm-hmm. So you mean that you could have, like, say, Ms. Motley, for instance, because you know that she's strong in her constituency, you mean that you end up putting none there because of that?
Well, some parties will have that as their challenge. I mean, there was a time when the NDP ran as a third party in Barbados and did not field candidates in every constituency. Okay?
The NDP, well, you're talking about NDP, but I mean, because the LP had one there, right? But if you got two major parties, they will got to send somebody, even if they know that they're not.
Well, if they are serious about trying to get a majority, you know, you're going to put a candidate in every constituency because, you know, the possibility of being able to win as many seats as possible is what you're going after.
Okay.
All right, we got to move. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition.
A blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed. Good
I haven't heard you for a long time.
Yeah, but I trust you've had a wonderful weekend as well.
Yeah. What's wrong with your voice today?
No, well, it might be a little bit on the husky side.
Yes.
But nothing's wrong with the brain. Once you can understand what I'm saying quite clearly, that's what matters. Now, Ms. Allen, I live on the beach. When I say live on the beach, we have a house on the beach, that is. And I encounter tourists practically every day because, you know, we're in the height of the tourist season now. And I can assure you that I don't ever fail to interact with the tourists when they come here. I have not met one yet that had a negative comment about Barbados. There are a few persons, but you know, something you can get are undesirable, saying, doing funny things or acting funny ways. But that is maybe an individual. But they all say to me, oh, you're very lucky to live here. I like to have a house here. I'm coming, and they've been coming here for years and years and years. I love the hotel industry because I worked in the hotel industry for about 18 years. And I can tell you that tourists love Barbados and Barbadians because it is the people that make the difference. And I can assure you that they all have been coming again and again and again. And not only that, they bring others. So that way, this is one of the reasons why the newspaper said, I think last week, a day last week, why Barbados was number one, so highly rated in the world. And with that, I'm saying that we Barbadians have contributed to it, and the government has also contributed to it, the high rating that we've had. So that even though we do not like what has happened on the South Coast, and that is not, let's say, something that any government would want or would want to have continuing. This is why the government has called in Paho and different people to...
So why did they maintain it properly before? If they didn't want it to happen?
Well, Mr. Ellis, you know that when you have a system that was only geared, somebody said, one engineer said it was to carry 2 million gallons per day. And it is now up to something like 8 million gallons per day.
Let me ask you something. So if you're running a place and you know that you have a sewage system that can only handle 2 million gallons a day, and you pushing tourism and you pumping up this and that and connections and stuff, wouldn't you be discussing how you're going to upgrade the system and increase its capacity? Have you heard that discussion?
All that it would have been requiring was larger pipes.
Yes, but if that is what you would have required, we did not have that discussion in the period.
Yeah, but who would have known that?
Well, you said you would have known if you took over your government and the BWA, they should be able to tell you what the capacity was. You can only discover its capacity after the fact.
But who would have known that it was going to happen?
What was going to happen? You just said you bought the idea that was put to you.
The pressure was on it.
That it had it could not bear the capacity. And leadership of anything says, if you realize that the demand is increasing, then you have to start talking about how you're going to fix the problem. So I am not one of these people who will take those arguments in the way that you take them.
Well, Ms. Ellis, let me say to you that this is a problem that you know and you've heard, even Ms. Aylard on the floor of the House. When she was referring to it, she said it is something that should have been looked at, even with this government. And she said, notwithstanding that, this is something that had happened long before even this government came into office.
No.
Yeah.
There is no. Listen, that didn't. What happened here did not happen long before this government came into office, as I know. I know what she referred to, people who were complaining about dust. You remember?
No. That's what I said to you. You didn't hear her.
Well,
did you hear her on the floor? Did you hear the lady on the floor? Mr. Ellis?
Let me ask you. You lived here at the time?
Of course.
You have seen anything of this magnitude with the South Coast Sewage Project since it was in its embryonic stages?
Not like this, no.
So what's she talking about?
She said, Miss Aylard said she lived, where she lived, I think it's in the Harris Gap or one of those areas, where there were backups that were happening on the lines in private homes and so on.
Fair enough. And there were some, there might have been problems back over time. But I'm saying to you that if, I don't see how the people, how people who have responsibility for something like this can escape that responsibility. In circumstances where, as you just said, there were some problems before, but never of this magnitude, the demand was increasing, and yet we weren't talking about fixing the problem. In addition, the government is yet to answer fully the charge that a report was done in 2014, 2015 by them, brought to government's attention, and nothing happened. It has not been answered. They've come with all sorts of answers to other things. Now, the truth of the matter is that we have reached a stage where it is a problem. It has to be fixed. It is not just a question now of looking back at what has gone wrong, but trying to get to the bottom of it.
And this is what they're doing.
Well,
this is what they're doing.
That's now, what they say they're doing. I wait to see. It's one thing to say it. Yeah. It is another thing to do it.
But they've started. Let me go
get
on
it done
quickly. Let me go on this one quickly here, Mr. Elliott.
Mm.
Now, I respect Mr. Wickham's poll, but I want to say I am concerned about two aspects of Twitter polls that he did. One, I think it was last year he did. I think one was done either last year or January. And this one about St. John now. And my concerns is this. The first poll that he did, he said it showed that there were between 32 to 35% of the persons who had said they didn't know who they were voting for or they wouldn't say. But then Mr. Wickham went on to say, no, he didn't say the poll, no, the poll didn't show this. He went on to say that those 35% of them would most likely vote for the Barbados Labour Party. This is what he said. No, as a pollster. The one he did in St. John now showed, according to the statistics that he gave, 40% of those persons either won't say or they don't know. And then Mr. Wickham went on to say that those 40% mostly will vote for the other parties. Mr. Ellis.
Where exactly did he say that?
That's in the newspaper.
Where exactly? Can you find the quote?
No, I don't have the paper here.
Because I don't. Neither.
It has a 40% person that said they either didn't know or they wouldn't say.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And what he said in the newspaper, sir, and I can quote it for you. He said that it was equally distributed, percentage-wise, to the others, to everybody. So that's how the DLP came out ahead of the BLP, despite what he calls a 29% swing.
But you know, my friend,
because
in all of this, whenever these polls come out, the politicians, their stock answer is this: the real poll is the election.
But let me say this to you,
so
Mr.
you are going to see. But I'm going to tell you that people have been feeding back on this particular matter from St. John.
Let me give you my assurance on this as far as St. John is concerned. The Democratic Party will win that seat. And I'll say this.
You went to St. John recently?
I haven't. I don't have to. Now, I'll tell you this.
On what basis do you come to this conclusion from your privileged position?
The basis is Ms. Mara Thompson, during the last two elections, well, the one after the by-election and this last one, won more votes than either one of the previous prime ministers that were there. She had 4,000 or whatever. Ms. Ellis, now, I'm saying to you, to turn around that has to be a miracle.
And that miracles don't happen?
But hear this now. Hear this now.
Well, no, don't understand where you're going.
I'm telling you this, that this is going to be proven. And in addition to that, I don't think Ms. Thompson officially announced or Mr. Prime Minister or the party that she is not running.
They're not officially announcing. If you don't officially announce it, it doesn't mean that the evidence on the ground is what you look at as well.
But no,
you're going to just wait for somebody's announcement?
The evidence
on the ground is that she is out there taking George Pilgrim around in St. John to constituents.
But I heard a caller said this morning that Mr. Jordan was going around with the other person where he lives.
Well, the essence of that is, what is it that she's telling them?
That's
the essential point. I don't understand where you are going with this, because at the end of the day, the Democratic Labour Party ought not to be in a position where Mara Thompson says she is not running again. We only have a few days now, down to June 6th or something like that, to elections in this country. And the Democratic Party does not know who its candidate is?
That's erroneous, that statement you just made. You mean the people, not the Democratic Party. Put it in its right place. Don't come at me, sir. And I say this to you.
My apologies. The people of St. John, who are the ones who must choose their representative, don't have a clue who that person is yet. That does not ring right.
Ms. Ellis, have you not heard the Democratic Party name 30 candidates some weeks ago at George Street, at one of those?
And who is the one to run for St. John?
Mr. Thompson's name was mentioned. You did not know a hill or
you guys
read
are
that?
Just trying to create confusion. Come on.
30 of them. Look, and I say this.
Look, let's not.
There's a spin here. There's a spin here.
Your wicket takes a lot of spin.
You know what the spin is? The spin is to try to confuse the people up there and to give...
But you are helping to create the confusion.
No, you all are. Not me. I am putting it in its right place.
So Mara Thompson has not officially said she's not running again?
She hasn't said that.
What has she said?
Where is it? Nothing. Nothing. Not a word. Not the premise. Not the party. Not a word. Where is it? So how could people just jump and just... But you see, the idea is to create as much confusion as they can. But I'll tell you.
Look, let me put it to you this way. If Mara Thompson isn't running again, with all the talk that has been going on out there, one would expect that she would set the record straight and say that's not true.
I'll tell you this.
Wouldn't you expect that?
I'll tell you what. It shows the confidence that the party has.
Yeah. You're correct.
It's the confidence.
You are so correct. But you know there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance.
But you can call it what you want.
You know that.
Now you can call it what you want to.
My confidence may be seen as arrogance by you.
But when you're confident, you don't have to rant and rage like others. You are confident. You know that.
Huh? Anyhow, I wait to see. I'm going to wait and see. I am not like you. I can't stay far away from it and call the shot.
The difference between you and I, as far as St. John is concerned, you have to wait to see. But I am putting it to you. I don't have to.
Understood. I got
you. I'm going to come back to you, and I hope that you will say to me I was right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I think we got time for one more call. Hello? Somebody says here, seriously, David, the garbage issues facing this country are very serious and consequential. And it's really not fair to blame Barbadians for you to suggest that, it's not fair to Barbadians for you to suggest that they are the ones to blame. What we see all across this country is due to a lack of collections on a timely manner. I put my garbage out only if I'm leaving home. And my reason for doing that is just in case the truck comes out in my absence. Quite often it doesn't. David, there really is no excuse for what is currently happening. What we need is a scheduled day, once a week, once every 2 weeks, or once a month. If you have no idea when you're going to get a collection, how can we be blamed for the pileup? Now, you know, there are different constituencies here. I'm not blaming you. But there are several other Barbadians who are not doing what you're doing, you know. You don't see that. It is real. There are a lot of people in this country who keep around them as clean as possible. But they don't have a problem dumping stuff all over the place. So that's how it is. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
I am a first-time caller.
Yes, good afternoon.
And I've taken this time out to say this. You had a caller before who was quite uncomfortable with people of Barbados speaking about the things that are going on in Barbados. Do they want us to settle for mediocrity? We know we can't get perfection. But do they want us to settle for mediocrity? If you're accustomed to living in a certain standard, you're looking for that standard to be consistent, right?
You got 3 minutes, or less than 3 minutes. So, how has your...
You keep me here so long.
Sorry about it, but tell me something. How has your standard changed?
My standard has changed quite a lot because, Mrs. Ellis, I have things to do. I had my plans, and I cannot see the money to get it done. But that is not my standard point. Okay. My substantive point is this. We have politicians who have been given 8 to 10 years in the House of Parliament and are entitled to a pension at that time, right? Up to that time, right?
Yeah.
At 50 years of age, they can start receiving their pension, right?
Well, after 2 terms.
Okay.
In Parliament.
Why is it that the person at the bottom of the table, like me, have to work 33 and the 3rd years, and then have to turn around and wait until I get 67 before I can earn the pittance that I am going to get as a pension? Why? It is not fair, Mr. Ellis. And I think that this 8 to 10 year span need to be increased to between 15 and 20, not 8 to 10. It is not fair.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that I kept you waiting so long and that you were so short on air, but that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. I want to thank all of you for being involved in today's program, either as listeners or as callers. Dennis Johnson has played the dual role of production assistant and producer, and well, he's had an additional role as well. It's not just dual. He's at times been the technical operator right through, and then we got some assistance from Demikia Skeet. Okay, so do have a great afternoon and join us tomorrow when we have the People's Parliament and looking at issues of crime and deviance in this country. So that should be an interesting one with the political parties present.